You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Warmed up out there. It feels nice. We had a little October chill in the air earlier this morning. A little chilly.
I wouldn't call it chilly. I slept with my windows open.
So I take it you have not turned the heat on in your house, your vehicle, anything.
I won't turn my heat on until, like, it's when it's like 40 degrees in the middle of the afternoon. In the middle of the afternoon.
45 degrees, you're not turning the heat on? I'm almost there. I've not done it, and you know how cold weather averse I am.
Yeah, you're kind of soft like that. But go ahead.
I thought about doing it. I thought it the other day.
Turning on the damn heat.
I thought about it.
Keep your windows closed.
I always keep my windows closed. What do you take?
It got that cold inside your house with the windows closed right now?
I never open the windows in my house. I don't want allergens and outside stuff coming in. I've got a finely regulated system at Stately Smith Manor.
Do you ever think that might be why you have so many allergy problems?
No.
Could you live like the boy in the bubble?
No, because, I mean, that's basically the theory behind allergy shots, right? Is it's immunotherapy. You expose yourself
allergens.
Yeah, and increased over time, and you become immune to it. Doesn't work. I did it for 5 years. It doesn't work.
Huh.
I'm no better or worse allergy-wise than I was before I took those shots. But, I mean, if people do it, hey, man, if they want to cut the check, I'll change my tune in a hurry. The Knoxville allergy sinus, whatever. Holler at your boy.
But no, it's got to be really cold. I just keep piling blankets on the bed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not there yet.
I'm at four.
I like to wait as long as – I like to hold out, you know, as long as I can. I love when you turn on the heat the first time in the house, that burning smell, the dust burning in your
– where you spend like 30 seconds wondering if something's on fire. You like that?
Yeah.
You like that heightened level of anxiety? Yeah.
Well, no, because I know what it is. I know that it's not on fire. It's just that's the first time you turn the heat on.
Yeah, but sometimes those things become a fire.
Really?
Yeah, it happened at recording studio I worked at. It's underneath all that new interstate construction. It's where SSL, Super Drag's studio was.
Well, I hope that.
Kicked on the heat the first time we looked through the control room window in this new built-out control room with, God, tens of thousands of dollars worth of gear in it. And the whole room filled with, and it was all from a heater getting turned off.
I don't think that's going to happen in my house. Knock on wood. You got fire insurance?
Do I?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's on the homeowner's policy. I assume it is.
I'm starting to wonder. Go back and check, right?
But it's horrible.
I like that smell.
I don't. It makes me nervous as hell when it's coming out of the vents, dude.
I almost put on a sweater today. I almost wore a sweater. I love sweaters.
Almost put on a sweater.
Love sweater season. Sweater season's where it's
charm and soft.
So comfortable. I don't want to hear about soft anymore, Mr. TJ brought up the Dexter McCluster game. Like,
I didn't say it like that. I can get real serious and real hard on me.
It.
Yeah,
doesn't matter how you said it.
You aren't bringing that crap back up, buddy.
I just did. Baller show lined up this afternoon. Baller show lined up. Adam Sparks from your Knoxville News Sentinel is going to join the festivities here in just a few moments. We'll go open lines most of hour number two. And then in hour number three, Sir Anthony of House Vitello joins the festivities. We got that baseball game coming up. What a weekend, man. You got LSU game, college football Saturday coming up, and then that Tennessee Wake Forest baseball game, which admission is free.
Oh, I'm going.
You want to go check out the baseballs? That is Sunday over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
70 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. Yeah, sign me up for that.
So we'll ask him about that. They also released the updated schedule. We've replaced Arkansas, a road trip to Arkansas. We replaced Auburn with a road trip to Arkansas. So that's going to be fun. We'll talk to him about that. And I'll tell you what, man, I've spent time getting ready for these interviews, and I always solicit questions from the audience for Coach Vitello. And we have some great audience questions. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to ask any of my questions because so many great audience questions coming in. And then we'll have Jam or Not a Jam. So jam-packed show this afternoon. Let's get things rolling. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Vols down to 2.5-point favorites. Check FanDuel this morning. 2.5 points is the line. And I don't know if it's just the casuals drowning out the hardcores, but the amount of chatter I hear and sense around town, sometimes you don't even have to hear it, you just sense it, right? Of Tennessee fans who are looking past LSU and looking towards Alabama and Georgia, kind of boggles my mind. It kind of boggles my mind. If the old adage about you get 3 points for home field is is true, then we're only, what, a 5-point favorite? This is a 2.5-point line, ladies and gentlemen. LSU is pretty good. They've got a fierce pass rush, probably a better defense than Pitt. This might be the best team we've played so far.
It is.
We're playing them in one of the most hostile environments in all of college football.
That's, I don't know if you noticed this, but it is officially sold out for the game Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was surprised yesterday when we were talking to T-Bob Hebert, and we were just asking him about the, you know, playing at 11 a.m. local time, how much that sucks for the fan base. And he's like, yeah, people are mad about it, but it's still going to be the biggest home game of the year. That was a direct quote from T-Bob. He said it's going to be the biggest home game of the year. And I don't even know what the rest of their home schedule looks like, but, I mean, surely they've got – I guess they don't have Auburn. Hold on, let me pull it up for you. Real quick, us, Ole Miss, they've got Bama at home. We're a bigger home game than Alabama. Surely he just misspoke a little bit there. Or maybe there's so much in a year zero mentality that they're kind of writing off that Alabama game. Or maybe he just misspoke. Probably just misspoke. But we're at least the second biggest home game they've got this year. Maybe he meant biggest home game so far.
I don't know. I mean,
we're not a bigger home game. I mean, Saban coached there, man. That's
how,
like,
about this? I think that T-Bob, and you never get T-Bob to admit it on air. I mean, he's way too proud to do that. But I think that they probably look at this game as a hell of a lot more winnable than Alabama coming in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is I think that there's so much in that year zero mentality that they're looking to pick off. It's like when Pruitt's first year, when we picked off Auburn on the road, it's like, okay, that was kind of doable. It was Gus Malzahn, and they weren't that good, and it was still upset and a great win, but we knew that was possible, whereas nobody was expecting to beat Alabama that first year. And we didn't. So, Josh on Twitter says, I've seen more people whining about Vol fans overlooking LSU than I've seen actual Vol fans overlooking LSU.
Huh.
I don't know, man. I feel like that I've...
I mean, there's nothing you could say to that segment of our fan base.
Yeah.
It's like it's charted a path to the playoffs. They're being completely just whack jobs, and they're going to get crushed, unfortunately, probably at some point over the next month, maybe a couple times over the next month.
Yeah.
But I think for most people, I'm trying to think of how to put it. But, hell, I expect us to win, but I do realize it's a pretty big task that we've got ahead of us on Saturday.
I wouldn't even say that I expect us to win. I think I'm probably going to pick Tennessee, but my this is a real toss-up, man. This is 50-50. I think that this is going to be a shootout. There's going to be a ton of points put on both sides of the board. I think we're going to be cursing our defense. I think people just magically expect the defense to ameliorate itself. I don't think it's going to – I think we just kind of are what we are. This would be a good question for Adam Sparks coming up here in just a few minutes. But I don't think Tennessee's defense is going to – oh, the Florida game, that was a mess. No, actually the Pitt game was a mess, and who knows if we even win that game if Slovis doesn't get hurt.
I don't know, man. He didn't look good Saturday against Georgia Tech. That's why I don't know why anybody's deluding themselves. Why are the people talking about Alabama and Georgia?
I don't know, man.
I thought about that off and on all last night. Like, it kept gnawing at me. I'm like, what kind of just maniac, just completely separated from reality, think that we've got a shot at either Bama or Georgia?
I'm going to thread the needle here. I'm not going to sit here and say we don't have a shot. I'm not going to say that. All I'm saying is first things first. First huge, really hard game first. And this is a huge, really hard game coming up against LSU on Sunday in Baton Rouge Saturday. If God willing, Vols figure out a way to come out there with one more point than the Tigers, and we're Hawaii 5-0, I'll have that conversation with you next week. I'm your Huckleberry. I'll go down that road with you. I'll dare to dream about beating Alabama, but I'm not going to start talking about Georgia that next week. I'm in full coach speak mode here, man. One game at a time.
I'm right there with you. I mean, this is one of those rare moments where I think me and you are on the same page and in lockstep about where we're at with the season. But
do you want to tempt the wrath of the whatever from high atop the thing here, man?
I mean, between Marcus being premature and, or you know, some of the fans acting wild.
Marcus,
why look ahead?
Did Marcus Young just catch a stray?
Why not? Is he on a show called The Drive? What, Marcus is too good to catch a stray?
What did he say?
It's when he started that early talk about, I don't even like talking about it right now.
About
Hawaii 5-0.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's
he was
this
talking
game.
About that before Florida. I know.
That's this game. That's what we're talking about here. It's like...
And don't get me wrong. I've looked at the Hawaiian shirt in the closet this week.
I mean, I've got the trumpet ready.
You play a trumpet? I figured you more for a flute guy.
No. I never I was percussion back in middle school. I like to bang on things. Bang on the drum all day. That's what I say.
Got to bang.
So, big show this afternoon, man. Super excited about it. We are locked, loaded, and ready to roll. I'm kind of bummed out. Some bad news. I mean, Loretta Lynn passes away.
She was 90.
Queen.
Yeah, I mean, thoughts and prayers to her family. And
Are you about to?
And they're a tough time, but hey,
to
90.
Don't do that.
She had a good long one, Russ.
Yeah, she did. Still sad. Wasn't expecting.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sad for all of us, but I mean, dude, give me 90 years. She saw, I mean, she went from, you know what, like 12 people living in a tar paper shack in East Bumble Blank, Kentucky, to being a worldwide superstar.
And so that's kind of
a rich life she lived.
That's kind of got me bummed. And then I tell you what, I didn't think this would have any impact on me at all. I don't know why it does, but I'm kind of bummed about Brady getting divorced.
I don't know
why. It's got me down, man.
Two people worth close to $500 million apiece, or
yeah, I thought they were
divorced.
I thought what they had was real. I really did.
I'd say this, but I'm Team Giselle. Maybe she didn't either, Russ.
I'm not the biggest. I'm not a huge.
He broke
Brady
his
guy.
Promise. He unretired. It's his fault.
Huh. I mean, if those two crazy kids can't make it, what chance do the rest of us have in this
maybe
world?
Maybe she rolled over and looked at him and started realizing he was, you know, looking like.
He wasn't Peyton.
He wasn't Peyton. He's had so much work done, he's starting to look like Caitlyn Jenner.
Whoa.
And.
Whoa.
He looks weird,
has
man.
Brady had plastic surgery?
Look at his. Yeah, I think
well,
he's
old. I mean, it's were you about to say look at him now when he was 20?
No, look at him now compared to like 3 or 4 years ago.
You think Brady?
I think
is
he's had.
A
I think he's had.
A tuck.
He's had something done. His skin's way too tight. How old's that dude? 43, 44?
But he's also spent more time in the sun than like most people do in a lifetime.
This is not a been in the sun too much kind of thing. I'm not the only person. Like, I asked somebody. I asked several people. Remember
you
Big Matt Johnson?
Several people.
Matt the Laugh. Remember Big Matt used to be on with Chance's show? Humongous dude.
Okay.
Always wore Packers jersey. Anyhow, I showed it to him. He agreed with me. He did.
Well, that's
Big Matt, who you can't remember, used to work here.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
huge fan of yours, by the way. I guess he's not anymore since you.
Sorry, Matt. I love you. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Buying and selling. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming live this afternoon at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app. Russ LeBaire cruising along with you on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show, and I'm pleased to be joined now by Adam Sparks of your Knoxville News Sentinel on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Good afternoon, Adam. How are you, sir?
Real good. Good to be back on. How y'all doing?
Hey, doing great, man. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, and boy, it's big times. I mean, I'm sure for you as a reporter, Adam, this is kind of what you envision. I know you're an impartial member of the media, but everybody wants to cover a big-time team, right? And you got the job when Tennessee was in a dark place, and now they're in the top 10. This has got to be fun for you and anybody else who's covering the team and all the press conferences and practices and things like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the job, it's if you're rooting for something, you're rooting for the team to be good or bad. You certainly don't want a middle of the pack, hover around 500, or even a little below 500 type of team. So, you know, if things are really bad, it makes things interesting, although painful. They're interesting, and Tennessee has certainly had its fair share of that. But it's obviously fun to cover a team when they're winning. And you know, I mean, the vibes around Tennessee in the building, the program, the fan base, I think even media perspective about the team is as good as it's been in quite a while. I mean, aside from the fact they're winning, they're winning in a way that is attractive. I think that goes to recruiting, that goes to the coverage of them. It's a fun team to watch, and it fits the era that we're in, where offense is king and points matter, and it's a fun brand. And Tennessee is the best at something, and that's it's up-tempo offense. And it's been a long time since you can say Tennessee is the best at something in college football.
I like that. They are the best at something. Not everything, but they are the best right now statistically in putting up offense. And, Adam, you mentioned the vibe around the team. And, you know, you've been over there all the time last year and this year now. Do you sense any change with that vibe around the team, whether it's confidence or just a acknowledgement that, hey, there are expectations now that there weren't this time last year when we weren't in the top 10?
Yeah, I mean, I think the unique thing about this program since Josh Heupel's been here is it's been the trajectory has really been unbroken, and that's sort of rare. If you know, you think about when coaches come in and over the first year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, there's improvement from point A to point B. Point B's better. Usually it's you know, two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, and you kind of get that up and down. And sure, at the end of it, things are up, but But it's a sort of a broken path to get there. I don't see that with this team. I mean, if you look at last season, there were struggles early on. They were trying to figure out who the quarterback was, and then they figured out who it was, and they got better, and they got better, and they got better. And at the end of the year, they were pretty good. This year looks significantly better in a number of areas than they did last year, and they've gotten better each game. I know there's still some issues on defense, but if you look overall at the program, they really haven't had adversity in terms of big steps back. And I think that's sort of where the confidence goes. I'll be interested to see if and when they ever do take a step back and they lose to somebody they should beat, then what happens then? But that hasn't happened yet.
Interesting. Adam Sparks with us, your Knoxville News Sentinel this afternoon. Adam, you know, it strikes me that Heupel, for all the fireworks and everything on the field, off the field, he's got this low-key demeanor, very even keeled, even on the sideline. You know, he's very rarely throwing the headset or cussing somebody out on the sideline, anything like that. Do you think that that demeanor is good for a program and a fan base, quite frankly, that's been prone to drama over the past couple of years?
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it. I've always been a believer that if you win, whatever personality you project, fans will sort of cling to that, and some aspects media will too. If Josh Heupel wasn't winning, then there would be the thought out there that, well, the guy's too boring, he needs somebody with some more energy. He didn't have enough of a personality. Because they're winning, it's this guy's down to earth and he's not rattled easily and these sort of things. I think winning sort of can direct you to lock the best out of people. I do think it helps that he has that personality, but the offense is why they're fun to watch. And it is interesting to me that doesn't really match his personality necessarily, but if you watch him close enough in a game, he has a quiet competitiveness about him, and we've seen it a little more. We didn't see it last year. For people that maybe see it in person at the game and not necessarily the broadcast, he's a lot more animated on the sideline this year and celebrating things than he was a year ago. And I think that's him sort of letting the guard down a little bit more.
What are you hearing about Cedric Tillman? He's had the tightrope procedure on the ankle. The high ankle sprain can be difficult to come back from. Do you think there's a chance we see him this weekend, or do you think it's still another week or more for him?
I mean, I would say questionable at best for LSU, but that's at best. I would almost lean toward doubtful. I'll just say that I'll be surprised if he plays at LSU. I think there's a far better chance he plays against Alabama. I mean, Tua had the surgery. I know that's been reported elsewhere. He had that surgery and he came back pretty quickly from it. But there's a difference between a quarterback that's got to take a 3 or 5 step drop, between that and a wide receiver that's got to run a long ways and cut on that ankle every single play. And so that's why I would lean a little bit more towards them taking it easy. And I mean, it, not that this necessarily makes their decision, but offense didn't really miss a beat with him out. Ramel Keaton looked great. I think they feel confident in that. And so if they can keep him out for at least another week, maybe 2 weeks, then I think they'll do it. If they get to the Alabama game and he still hasn't played, I think you'd probably have him take even another week off and wait till Kentucky. But I would say he's doubtful to questionable for this week.
LSU team that was able to slow down Mississippi State is the other team with Tennessee that's gaining the most yards right now in this conference. How much does that worry you from the Tennessee perspective that they might be able to have more success than other teams, Pitt and Florida, most notably the other big games that Tennessee's played this year?
Yeah, I mean, I thought even before the season that LSU, because of the athletes that they had, because of sort of the wins that they got in the transfer portal and the fact that Brian Kelly's a good coach, I thought all year that LSU would eventually flip a switch and figure things out sometime this season. Now, maybe that was going to be a month into the season, maybe a couple months into the season, maybe that was bowl time, but they would look like a significantly better team at some point in the year than they did early in the season, similar to what Tennessee did last year. Is that to this point? I don't think so. Now, that could change in this game. I think they, but they still have a lot of athletes on defense that could give Tennessee some trouble. You know, they've got phenomenal wide receivers that have not been utilized at all. Is this the game that they, you know, sort of figure out that passing game? I mean, they've got a top 10 draft pick in Kayshon Boutte on the offensive side at wide receiver, and he's got less than 100 yards and no touchdowns. That's inconceivable that they can't get that passing game going. From what I hear out of LSU, they think this could be the week, and maybe it will be, because Tennessee's pass defense has been awful so far. If not this week, then I'm not sure when LSU will flip that switch.
Yeah, this the defense for Tennessee, I mean, that's the big concern, right, is that you're going to get into a shootout, and people can talk about Jaden Daniels, and he hasn't looked good. Well, this is the same conversation we had around Anthony Richardson 2 weeks ago, and he looked pretty darn good against Tennessee's defense. Adam, do you think that this defense can improve as the season goes along, or is it just sort of is what it is at this point?
It can make incremental improvements. I mean, it can you know, go forward a few inches, but not full strides. I don't think this is going to be a problem that's going to be fixed, because there's not the personnel really to fix it. I mean, I think behind closed doors they're trying to figure out different tweaks they can make to the scheme, but who you have is who you have. And I think especially in the secondary, they had issues at corner coming into the season. We knew that was probably their weakest position. Now with the Warren Burrell out, they've got even bigger issues, and this just, you know, there's not a savior coming. There's not a, you know, there's not three guys that are going to jump in the transfer portal and be on campus tomorrow. So I don't think it gets significantly better. They've just got to play well enough on defense and not lose a step at all on offense to win games like LSU, like Kentucky, and those games, those very winnable games later on the schedule. And you could get to 9-3 or 10-2 just on sheer offense. And I think that's probably more realistic.
Adam Sparks, Knoxville News Sentinel, with us this afternoon on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Adam, anything else that you think might be an overlooked storyline this week, something that you're keeping an eye on, or just a big question mark in your mind heading into this game between Tennessee and LSU?
Well, I think a lot has been made of the fact that LSU has rallied in its SEC games, that it's a team that can come back, and we've seen that. I don't put as much stock into that. I mean, there's some concern, I think, with Tennessee because they almost let Florida back into that game. I think if Tennessee can get a double-digit lead in the first half of this game, I think they'll keep their foot on the gas. I think they learned that lesson a little bit in the Florida game, and I don't see a comeback happening. So the big key will be if Tennessee can get on LSU early, get that crowd quiet in an early game, and just extend its lead. I don't see a comeback happening in this game. It's more about how Tennessee starts.
Mm. Yeah, I agree 100% with you, Adam. We were kind of talking about it yesterday. LSU's not really built to – they don't have a quarterback like Anthony Richardson that could make plays capable of bringing him back. I think if we can just get out on him quick – and just keep the pressure on, it's going to be hard for them to keep pace.
Yeah, Tennessee's a better offense than they've faced so far. If Tennessee plays like it's supposed to, then you get a lead and you build on it.
Adam, last thing for you. Tennessee will break out the smoky gray uniforms on the road. First time they've done this for a regular season road game, going alternate uniform. Adam, I ask you, personal taste, which alternate uniform do you prefer, the smoky gray or dark mode?
Oh, I mean, I guess dark mode. I like contrast. So the gray to me is a little bland. I like clean white or deep black. So the gray to me is sort of middle of the road. I'm actually happy that they're using this early in the season to sort of you know, get past it. I love classic uniforms, so give me all the white and orange you have. I know the players like alternate uniforms, but get it out there, get it out of the way. I'm perfectly fine with them doing this early in the season on the road.
Adam's up on the porch.
Adam, we got a rocking chair and a cold glass of lemonade up here on the porch
right
for you,
next to us.
With me.
I like it. I like it.
Old school.
Guilty as charged.
Yes. All right, Adam, appreciate you, my friend. Always enjoy speaking with you. Go check him out, KnoxNews.com, for all the latest on the Vols. Adam Sparks, the Knoxville News Sentinel. Enjoy Baton Rouge, my friend.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Yep. Adam Sparks on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Yeah. You know, they get, I guess, the game will be over around 3:30. And usually, I don't know what his procedure is. Sometimes those riders stay a long time after the game.
Yeah, that's what I was talking with Rick and Chance, and they were telling me about that.
Well, he could probably go if he stays for like 3 hours after the end of the game. By the time he gets out there, now those folks will be tailgating. Like the party will be outside if they win. I don't know, man. There's a lot of weird factors to this. But what I was going to say is he could probably go to the main drag there right outside campus and hit up. They got a place called The Chimes. It's a fun place to go watch games, get some Cajun food and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, but being a noon game for the beat guys, I'm kind of happy for them because, you know, by 7 o'clock, they'll be, you know, at some places like what you're talking about, Chimes, with a cold beverage and good food. Those guys, I can't believe how late those guys work.
Yeah. I saw one guy.
You text Butler at like 3:30 in the morning after a game. He'll still be up working.
Oh, I saw one of those guys after the Florida game. You know, Florida game ended like around 7. And somebody was, you know, they'll post like the good night Nealon tweet or whatever with the picture from the field, empty stadium as they're leaving. Some guy did that at like 1 a.m. Like, I'm getting set to go to bed. We've finished voluntary reaction. I'm going to bed. Like, this dude's still at the station, at the stadium.
Yeah.
Writing.
Be a spooky place if you're by yourself. If you're completely alone, having to walk your way out of Nealon.
I'm soft, middle of the night. No. I'm soft.
I'm just saying it'd be. I'm not saying
spooky.
I wouldn't do it.
Well, you think I'm a just ghost saying, is going to get
you? It'd be kind of spooky. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
What do you mean? You
don't why are know, you? Afraid, why? I mean,
are you afraid of a ghost? No, don't change the channel. Like we're talking about you here. Are you afraid somebody's going to get you? Someone going
to
get you?
It's just spooky to me.
When it's dark.
Dark and there's you
nobody,
know, a big
nobody can hear you scream.
It's just this huge.
I would come.
You're
help
inside that huge.
I would help you out. I would
you
hold
would
your
literally
hand.
Be the last person I would call.
I'd help you, man.
I'd call one of my less judgmental friends.
Very difficult for you.
Like McClure, Brandon.
Oh, you would call McClure. Hey, Cody, it's Bear. Yeah, I'm sorry to wake you up, buddy, but it's 2 a.m. and I'm at Nealon Stadium by myself and I'm a little scared. Will you come help me, Cody, please?
I wouldn't have to say it or say it like that. He'd be like, yeah, I'll be over there in a few minutes. He'd show up.
Oh, yeah. He would come to help walk you to your car like you're an old lady or something. He'd hang up on you.
You think I'd actually call somebody? I'm just saying there's a difference between being able to do it and just saying, man, it's kind of spooky.
Backpedaling a little bit here.
No.
Stay with us. It's okay, Bear. It's okay to be scared. I'm scared of things. You're scared of things. We're all scared
of things.
You're
scared of Shamu, dude.
We're all scared. It's called a killer whale. Yeah. Yeah. A little scary. You go, like, put your face right up next to his? No. I know you.
No.
You wouldn't.
Because they're on a list with 11 other animals on the planet that kill for fun.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
We're right behind them in the rankings.
At least I'm scared of an actual animal here, not whatever it is you're unable to articulate about leaving Nealon Stadium.
I just have this thing about it's not just Nealon Stadium, just large buildings like a school. They're spooky, man.
Being like,
I mean, like what? Say you're down some dark hallway at a school,
an old school,
or let's say at Nealon.
What is this?
And all of a sudden, out of the darkness, comes some door creak open. And then you hear footsteps. And then a damn clown comes into the light, Russ.
So you're afraid that a clown might attack you.
Banshee shrieks at you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a nightmare.
Has that happened before? Is this a big problem?
I've had a nightmare about it before.
People walking outside Nealon Stadium. Oh, where's the wise guy in the clown outfit? The machete. Get that guy out of here.
And they just start running like Terminator style, unnaturally fast at me. With a butcher knife.
I did think about that. There's that old school. Is it like Young High School? There's some school that they've turned into an apartment building.
I imagine that place is spooky at night.
I was like looking at some pictures. It does look kind of spooky.
Schools are spooky.
You're living in a classroom like we all went to growing up.
Well, not to mention at Nealon, down in the bowels of that thing. I mean, there's how many different skeletons, how many different bodies?
Well, in that school, you've got the ghosts of the kids that have been abused through the years haunting the hallways in that school.
Oof.
Ooh. Tell you, man, it's October. These are the kind of thoughts you have. Halloween coming up.
I do not like scary movies. Hate them. And I've got harlequinophobia.
Stay with us. The Drive, wasn't that the person in the Batman movie, Suicide Squad or whatever?
Harlequinophobia is a fear of clowns.
Fan Run Radio, we're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
So you're watching. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. So no scary movies for Bear this month. Not at all?
None. Dude, like, the Cubs tried to talk me into watching the new It. That Skarsgård guy, I've just...
I watched the first one. That was kind of traumatic.
Well, that's what you said, because normally you wasn't... Like, you admitted to me that it was terrifying.
It's scary, man.
Did they have the scene where he comes out of the photo album yet in one?
Like, that's the movie's been out for like 5 years. Yeah, it's happened.
No, is that in part one or is that scene? How did they split it up in the movie?
The really scary, where they're like watching the slideshow or something, and he's in the slide, and then he comes out of the screen.
Breaks the fourth wall.
Ah!
That's literally, I think, I don't know why, but that was the most terrifying part of that book when I read it and then the original. That's just weird to me. But yeah, do you like them?
Yeah, I have to be it has to be the right frame of mind, the right night, the right vibe in the air. Sometimes I can't, man. Sometimes if I'm a dark headspace, which happens sometimes, like it's all about balance, right? When I'm feeling that way, I watch a little comedy, something kind of even out the mood.
Did you happen to see the video that kind of went a little viral on Twitter? Little kid at like one of those corn maze places, dressed up like Michael Myers.
JR voice.
No, this was another one. Some kid was dressed up like Michael Myers from Halloween.
I got to send you the one with JR where he's at one of those things and he falls down.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen the one I did.
The one I saw was this little kid wearing the, you know, the coveralls, the navy blue coveralls with the William Shatner mask on.
Yeah.
And he's just walking on these bales of hay.
He falls down, busts his butt, and then he gets back up.
Yeah, but the way he gets up like Michael Myers gets up.
Yeah. I got to show you this.
He swings his legs around and then just sits up straight at the waist and stares at the camera.
Let's go to the phones. Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We'll start with DR Vault today. Good afternoon, DR Vault.
Good afternoon. Bear, I found it pretty comical, the last segment, that Russ is so defensive about his fear of Shamu, and he's kicked me off this show twice for my fear.
Shamu is a killer whale, DR Vault.
So it's a 5,000-pound killing machine.
Vicious animal. Little people or dwarves are not... They're human beings, DR Vault. They have mothers and fathers. They have sisters, brothers, friends, lovers. Yeah, I just used the word lover on a sports radio show. It's a little weird now, isn't it? But they are human beings, DR Vault.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Dahmer had all of the above that you just listed, and I just watched a 10-episode documentary, and he was a mass murderer.
I can't get into that. People keep telling me I need to watch that. I don't know, man.
Me either, and then I saw somebody made a really good point, one of the few good points I've seen on Twitter, in that, you know, the way they casted this, and people are being entertained by a monster and a monster story. I don't know. I'm probably not going to watch it.
It was a little much. Like, and you know, you're talking about scary movies. One of the scariest movies I've seen was The Strangers with Liv Tyler. And that was based on a true story, and the people got away. It happened in Texas in the 70s.
That's where they're, like, at a remote ranch or something, and these people come out of the woods and start harassing them in the house?
Killing them, you mean?
With masks. At first, they're just, like, banging on the door and showing up at the mirror, but... I never watched that one. I never watched that one, DR Vault. That seemed a little too intense.
I was somewhere where it was being shown, DR, and I left after, like, I think I made it, like, maybe 15 minutes into the movie and could see where it was going.
Oh, my God. I tell you, one of the last lines in that was Liv Tyler was crying. She asked, why are you doing this? And they just said, because you were home. And that messed me up. That that began my descent into darkness, I guess.
That's how those defective people are wired, because you were home.
Like Dahmer.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of why I have my fear is with Chucky and then Children of the Corn. I saw that growing up, and I actually lived by a cornfield, and I was alone at
Malachi.
Like 12 years old, and I freaked out, guys.
You thought Malachi and Ishmael were going to come out there and murder you with a scythe?
I'll tell you which one freaked me out, believe it or not? That damn homemade-looking Blair was the Blair Widget, yeah. Witch Project.
Blair Widget. Yeah, the Witch Project. Yeah, that was
that whole scene at the end, that put me into like a funk.
Anything about the devil, man, is that's next level scary when you start talking about the devil.
There was one, I mean, it's horribly 80s camp to go back and watch it now. What was it? Show of Fear of Evil or Face of Evil. It was a terrible movie. Alice Cooper was in it. That's how bad it was. But it was anything like Russ, anything about the devil freaks me the hell out.
Yeah, same. Like anything satanic and all that. And a part of my problem with Children of the Corn is where I grew up, we were close to a lot of Amish people, and they dress like Ishmael and all that, Russ. And
Malachi and Ishmael.
So yeah. You're scared of midgets, scared of the Amish. Is there any other group of marginalized people?
Non-threatening pacifists.
Yeah, just really kind of freak you out, D.R. Ball. This is really strange. And you're a big dude. Like, you can handle yourself. None of these people are a threat to you.
I don't know, Russ. I'm telling you, Chucky really scarred me as a kid. I had a dream shortly after I watched it. I mean, I'm talking about fifth, sixth grade. And it was just like something clicked in me after I had that nightmare about Chucky. I don't want to be around those kind of people.
Chucky freaked me out, too. That was very scary. We're kind of the same age. And so that was terrifying. And I'll tell you what else. I had at my house the My Buddy doll. Did you have My Buddy?
Not for a very long time. I guess.
Wait a minute. That thing called dolls.
That thing was, yes, we're comfortable with our masculinity. It was a toy that was aimed at young boys in the 80s. Bear, get over yourself. Not ashamed of it at all.
My buddy doll.
It was very reminiscent. And I think Chucky was probably based on My Buddy. That was in my house, D.R. Vol.
Yeah, and I've always heard that it was, Russ. And I remember going to Hot Topic. They had those Chucky dolls there. And it's just a little overstimulating for me. I know I've got the size advantage on them, but they've got the stealth advantage on me. I mean, that desk you're sitting there right now, there could be one under there, and it'd have you, and you'd be dead, and you wouldn't even know it.
Speaking of Chucky.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Auburn's next coach.
My call was not about my phobias, but, you know, I'd ask Bear off air. But I'm heading down to Baton Rouge Friday, and I'm kind of looking for some fun spots to eat and drink. And I was hoping that there'd be some callers, listeners that would call in and talk about some good places to go down there. And I'll hop off here. You have a good day, guys.
Baton Rouge hangout suggestions. I don't know. I mean, we talked about the Chimes. They got a really cool state capitol there. You can go in and tour. It's like really tall, like tall building. You can go up inside, take the tour.
Mm-hmm.
They've got who was the governor there that all the King's Men was?
Roy or Ray or?
Yeah, and that guy in like the 30s or whatever. Huey Long.
Huey Long.
Somebody
wasn't Ray.
Somebody tried to shoot him in the Capitol building, like right outside the elevators, and there's the bullet hole still in the wall. I don't know why that kind of always stuck out to me, but you could go do that if you're into the history aspect of it. Be careful down there, though, man. Travel in packs. Those people are rude, man. They're rude. They'll be frothing at the mouth. I don't know. Maybe they'll be a little bit more docile. That 2005 game was weird.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, if T-Bob's any indication.
T-Bob Hebert.
They get really full of themselves.
So we went back and listened, and we'll play the audio for Vitello coming up in hour number three.
It's Coach Vitello.
The direct quote was, those pretenders, fake bad boys. And he said that
in reference to Tony and the
boys. To our baseball team, yes.
Our program.
We'll play that for Coach Vitello coming up when he joins in hour number three of the show and get his reaction to that. We'll go open lines here next hour, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, take a quick timeout. We'll be right back, top four at four, and your phone calls coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.